That's Sunday, November 6th at 11 p.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Yo, this is G-Love on WBAI New York.
And you're listening to WBAI New York. The time is 7 o'clock time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. A million bomb for the best.
Good intro, everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein with you on this Wednesday evening. Haven't been here in a while. It's been a few weeks, but we're back. We're back with a vengeance. And I'm joined tonight by Mike.
Good evening.
Voltaire.
Hey.
Dot Rhett.
Hello.
Bernie S. down in Philadelphia.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
And boy, you know, I got to say, so much has been happening with the whole Occupy movement. We're going to be featuring all kinds of information on that. Throughout the hour, as well as other things involved in the computer underground, the hacker world, technological advances and regressions, things like that. Now, we just came back from Occupy Wall Street over on Wall Street, the one that started it all, and it's grown so much. It's really incredible. Any impressions, you guys, Mike, Voltaire?
It's big.
Yeah, it was always big, but they got tents now. They didn't have tents before, and having tents really turns it into more of a community, I think.
Yeah, it feels like a city almost. Like the last time we were there, it was just like it's like an event. It's something that you expect people to go home for after the weekend or something.
Yeah, it was wet and cold but people stayed no matter what. People were always there, but now you can actually go back into something that it's fairly warm and sheltered from the elements. I visited Occupy DC over the weekend and Occupy Philly, and I was amazed by how much more of a insulated area there was for people to basically escape from the rain and the snow and various other nightmares that were happening. And it just allows you to get your head together a little bit more. So I was happy to come back to New York and see that tents are now up. I don't know how it happened. I'm not sure when it changed and all of a sudden tents were allowed, but tents are there now.
They're not allowed, but
well, they're there.
They've stopped being enforced.
And maybe that's what has to happen. People have to just do things that aren't allowed because it makes sense. It does not make sense to be outside in the cold without some kind of shelter.
They've been doing that since day one. They've been obviously people break the rules of day one, but once they realize that they stopped enforcing that.
Well, it's a question of picking the right battles and maintaining strength and fighting back when necessary.
All
right.
Well, I think the big issue is mainly the fact that the police and the city in general has been getting a lot of bad press for cracking down on this too much. So at first they had makeshift tents, but now that they seem to be possibly enforcing this less, that now they came in with tents because it's just too cold otherwise.
Right. Now, Bernie, you were with us when we visited Occupy Philly. And you've been there a few times, correct?
Yes, I was there the first night and several times since then, and I was pleased to take you over there and show you some of the setup.
It's massive. It's huge. It's very well coordinated, in my opinion, from what I saw. We actually have one of the coordinators, one of the technological coordinators. Dan is joining us from Occupy Philly. Dan, you with us?
Yeah, hey.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. You had a good night.
So now I know that the General Assembly is about to start for you guys. Basically, that's where all kinds of things are tabled and discussed and various things like that. So we don't want to keep you for very long. But if you could tell us something about the technological setup. I know it's been a struggle here in New York to get decent connectivity so that people can communicate outside the encampment. What do you guys have set up down there?
Well, originally, when I first got here, I brought a deep cell optimum battery and a 750-watt inverter. And some other guys actually came up with a 4G clear modem, and we plugged in some regular high-powered routers. And from there, like, everybody was pretty much instantaneously connected to the Internet. And after that started bogging down, we actually got a second clear modem and router for the just for the live streaming. And at this point, Philadelphia, after we signed the permit, they actually gave us use of one outlet, which is great. Now we can charge up all the batteries and run all of our technological stuff directly from the 120.
Now, wait, is this the cord that I saw coming out of the window of City Hall?
Yeah. They gave us one outlet, and so, it only has 20 amps, so we're just running laptops, routers and stuff off it, and charging. I'm charging deep cell batteries, and I've been delivering them to, like, safety and medical and food and, all the people who need them. So, and we've given them, like, smaller inverters so they can all have their laptops running. And for the ones that are further away, we actually have a repeater, which I have inside my personal tent, so I can bounce the signal all the way down to where the medical tent is. So, like, pretty much everybody has Wi-Fi coverage and power. Yeah, they put Christmas lights up, and it's pretty nice.
Oh, that'd be nice. That's amazing. I was blown away, though, when I went to Philadelphia, and I saw that the city is actually helping by giving you guys power, not having the place surrounded by cops like the one here at Wall Street is. And the mood just seemed to be a lot more peaceful, less tense, less of a confrontation brewing. Is that accurate?
That's correct. I think Philadelphia is, I mean, it's a city of brotherly love, and they've the way I feel personally, the way I feel is they've welcomed us with open arms. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is there any kind of advice you would give to the other Occupy locations as things that they can do to get more connectivity, to set things up in an efficient manner?
That's pretty much everything I said. Just have everything ready when you get there. I mean, the 4G worked great for us. We're getting, like, 10 megabits a second when we tested it out.
Hey, Dan.
Just have plenty of D-cell batteries and some good chargers. That's really crucial. We noticed from the beginning to have finding a place to charge the batteries and keeping them going.
Hey,
and,
Dan.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Dan, I had a couple questions. I'm in Philadelphia also. I'm with the hackerspace nearby called the Hacktory. I wanted to ask you. I understand there was first of all, you mentioned the 4G. I guess you're using the Clearwire WiMAX connectivity.
Yes, we have two of those.
And in addition, we might
get a third soon.
Right, and are these just plugged into individual laptops, or are these actual routers?
I think they might be wireless themselves, but we just go ahead and put in we get the real nice wireless routers, and each wireless router that we plug into the Clear modem transmits a 5 gigahertz and a 2 gigahertz open, and a 5 gigahertz and 2 gigahertz secure.
Right. I think Sarge, we met Sarge there on, I guess it was Saturday night, and he said you were running 802.11 A, B, G, and N. But the other question I wanted to ask you is, I understand that some of the folks on the legal team and so forth met with the mayor on Sunday. Can you tell me what happened there?
Oh, they're just talking. We had a meeting, just talking about different things. Most of it was him saying that he wants to have dialogue with us. He agreed. He likes what we're doing. He loves free speech. I mean,
you have a mayor who loves free speech, really?
Yeah, things are really different here in Philly compared to the other cities.
Wow,
it's really surprising, and I'm really impressed personally.
Uh-huh. So
I think things are going to go great here. I mean, people, of course, everyone here is apprehensive at first, because you never know, because everything's happened in other cities, it was crazy.
Dan, what do you think is going to happen with the, I know there's some planned construction on the site of the Occupy Philly, the construction plan being for an ice skating rink that's been planned, for a year or two. What do you think is going to happen with that? It's supposed to happen November 30th.
Well, the plan is supposed to start on the 15th, And the city has actually offered us to expand, move next door. And tonight we're actually going to vote to get a permit to actually expand to there's actually another open area right next door. And we're going to have a vote tonight whether to expand to that or not. And I personally hope it goes through. It's the first step into getting everybody to agree to go to a different location. Because from my personal opinion is if the city's working with us, we should work with them. I mean, he says he'll work with us about where we're moving to. We can pick locations and, see which one that we can both agree upon.
So this is by the City Hall Annex. Is that where the statue of former Philadelphia Mayor Frank Rizzo stands?
It's a municipal building right next door. There's like a bunch of game pieces and stuff. It's pretty neat.
Will the protesters be allowed to dress up Mayor Frank Rizzo?
Oh, I don't know.
Bernie, you're going to have to pursue that on your own time, I think.
Okay.
That's a long dream of yours, I know, to do that.
Yes, it is.
Doesn't like is that when people mess, people do graffiti on like the buildings. That's one thing he did today. He really doesn't like seeing, the beautiful marble having, graffiti on it. So we've sent our guys out to go around and clean everything up really good, as days go on. We have a sanitation team that takes care of that, just kind of keep everything clean.
Great.
Okay. Dan, I we don't want to keep you from this important meeting because obviously you're deciding on whether to expand and move locations a little bit and things like that. Sounds great. Sounds like you really have it very well organized down there. And of course,
things are looking better and better as the days go on.
And there was a strike. Wasn't there a 99-minute strike today? A general strike in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
I was able to go out to that because I'm extremely tied up in the technological side of it. So it's hard for me to get out to those, but there was some arrests today. Some people marched out to the I think it was the Comcast building, and I think they arrested about a dozen people. They're out already. I've actually run into a couple of them already who are just released.
All right.
So I mean, it was all peaceful, and everything was respectable.
Dan, can you give us any kind of contact info, websites, if people want to contribute, any kind of equipment, or let us know what you need as well?
I'm pretty sure it's OP. Let me check my phone real quick. I have it all written down here.
You can't talk on the phone and check it at the same time. That's the problem with these smartphones.
Okay, it is opfunding@gmail.com. And opinkind@gmail.com. And I'm just reading this all off. If somebody has a text, it goes to Jobs with Justice. And in a memo line, you write Occupy Philly. It goes to 1229 Chestnut Street, TBM. PMB 248 Philly, PA 19107.
Or I guess listeners can just contact us at oth@2600.com, and we'll make sure it gets to the right people.
Sure. Yeah. All the help any help we can get, we greatly appreciate it.
Okay. And just for the sake of people that might be wanting to stop by, you're right in front of City Hall in Philadelphia by Broad Street, correct?
Yep. Can't miss us.
can't.
Everywhere.
You really can't. It's huge, and it's amazing. It's a very really
beautiful
good vibe.
Thing.
All right, Dan, best of luck to you. We'll be keeping track of what goes on down there and let us know happens.
Hey, have a great day.
All right, take care. That was Dan from Occupy Philly talking about various technological issues and the overall organization. Bernie, I really was impressed going down there and seeing that. I was also impressed at Occupy D.C. That's at McPherson Square in D.C., very peaceful. Did not see a single cop. And that's the real difference between some of the Occupy locations and this one here, where it's ringed with police all the time.
I should say, Emmanuel, that when we were there, the weather was quite inclement. It was sort of sleeting, and it was cold and wet. In the bright, sunny weather, the City Hall and the Occupy Philly people are surrounded by a sort of a ring of Philadelphia police officers. But the night we were there, it was cold and dark and rainy, and the few cops there were sort of holed up in their motor vehicles, keeping warm.
Yeah, we saw a few in vans. We saw, I think, one or two vans. you've been to New York. You see what it's like here.
It's different.
I have seen this in the media. The media sometimes does a good job, and sometimes they do a really awful job. And the most awful thing I saw in the last couple of weeks was a story saying that shootings have gone up in New York City, and it's likely because all the cops are down at Wall Street, at Occupy Wall Street. A subtle, not so subtle way of blaming protesters for violent crime. And it was just simply incredible, the audacity nobody wants the cops down there in the first place. Blame the city. Do not blame protesters who are being peaceful and managing their own affairs for the ring of cops that is there 24/7 staring at them. Voltaire.
That reminds me of the complaint about how the Occupy people are making the city pay for overtime for cops. It's like they're not making them pay.
No, not at all. That's a city yeah. decision.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if anyone who comes down here and looks will also see far more cops than are probably even necessary at any given moment. Like on Wall Street, no one's here. The streets barricade all the time. And you see clusters and clusters of cops just hanging around pretty much on any given day.
Yeah, there's no crowd there because they have the street closed off. In fact, Occupy Wall Street has closed them off. And cops are just standing around making sure nobody goes on the street.
And half the time they're even just congregating. Like, so we're now, in essence, the city is paying all the cops to relocate to one part of the city and just talk to each other.
Pretty much. It's less contentious than it was a few weeks ago, I'll say that.
True.
That can change in a moment, though, and that's something we really have to be careful of. Mike?
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on this kind of inane story, but I don't even think it's at all possible to establish that there's a causal relationship between the cops on Wall Street and the number of shootings in the city. There's so many cops, and they're doing all kinds of things that even if the protesters had called up the police department and said, please, all of you should come here, I don't think there's any way to assume that that would cause an increase in the shootings.
No, and it is an inane story. I totally agree with that. But it's in the mass media. People believe what the mass media dishes out. And we do have to contest what they say, because people come up to me all the time and say, you know, I keep hearing these Wall Street people, and not the ones inside the buildings, the ones outside in Zuccotti Park, they're getting all this money. Where's all this money coming from? And who's actually controlling them? All kinds of rumors that are spread around by the mass media, and they just need to be countered at some point. But yes, I don't want to spend too much time on this. There was a general strike today in Oakland, according to the San Jose Mercury News. Occupy demonstrators turned their ire on big banks and corporations by marching, blocking traffic, and chanting, and in some cases, defacing ATMs and pounding on doors at Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase, and Citibank branches around downtown. Pounding on doors? Really? Has it come to this? And at Whole Foods at 27th and Bay Streets, a splinter group threw paintballs, tore up a fence, and broke a window before the larger crowd turned on them and ripped them to forced them to stop. No, it's not like that, but the way they write the story sometimes makes it seem that way. With those exceptions, though, it was a loud, boisterous, and largely peaceful demonstration as thousands of people from all walks of life. Yes, Mike.
I have to interrupt you because I don't understand. So the protesters were knocking on doors, and that is counted as a counterexample of peace?
Pounding on doors.
Pounding on doors.
Not knocking, pounding.
Is violent? Is that the implication?
To the door, apparently. And
I have a lot of respects for a lot of things, but doors, aren't they designed to be pounded on?
Listen, if you wrote for the mass media, you would identify with doors because that's about the same mentality, but I don't want to get into that.
I mean, there's the doors. They weren't knocking on members of the band, the doors, right?
No, they were knocking, pounding on doors at Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase, and Citibank branches around downtown.
But it wasn't like the band was hanging out there and getting beat up.
I don't think so.
I
don't think so. Let's move on. Thousands of people from all walks of life poured into downtown Oakland from points east, north, south, and I can't make out that last word, but some other direction. They were there to lend their support and their voices to the general strike, the first of its kind in Oakland since, anyone?
1925.
1946, but a good guess, none the same. For much of the afternoon, the large crowd split off to form separate marches, with some staying at the Occupy Oakland camp at 14th and Broadway, others marching and protesting at various banks located near the Kaiser Center, 20th and Webster Streets. Sounds like it was a pretty active day out there in Oakland. Of course, all this, the reaction to the crackdown last week, the horrible crackdown that saw an ex-Marine horribly injured by the police, who continued to fire into the crowd with what I believe is still unknown projectiles. No one seems to know exactly what it was that was shot at. Was it tear gas? Was it rubber bullets? Was it pellets of some sort?
I think more than one of the above.
Uh-huh. But it's amazing how you know, if a cop was the victim here, you would know everything, every single fact. And since the cops are the instigators, you know nothing. You just know that somebody got horribly injured and almost killed by their actions, but you don't really get many more details. Like, for instance, who's the guy who did it? Do we know that yet? No, that hasn't come out. Anyway, Oakland, one more hot spot. Here's one, San Diego. How many of you heard Occupy San Diego? Well, obviously, we've probably heard of it, but have you been following what's been going on down there? Years ago on this radio program, you may have heard the voice of Auto Jack, and I was rather shocked to find out a few days ago via a text message from Auto Jack that he had been swept up with a bunch of other Occupy San Diego people in another police crackdown. And it's incredible to see all these things happening, wondering what people overseas must be thinking of our country to see day after day police crackdowns in various cities. And the parallels to Syria and other hotspots across the world can't be ignored. Auto Jack joins us from San Diego. I believe you're occupying your bed now, is that right?
Not exactly. I was occupying my bed, but now I'm occupying my chair.
Okay, well, that's good. That's progress.
Yeah, I'm not feeling well today. So,
well, no. I can imagine not feeling well after being held by the police. Do you want to tell us how it came to be in the first place that you got dragged away by them?
You want to know how I got myself arrested or how it is that the police decided to...
Well, in
51 people away.
In the order, were you there when the police started to crack down on the group?
No, I wasn't. I was at home, getting ready for bed, and I was watching the live stream. And all of a sudden, I heard Callie, who is one of the members of the media committee, screaming on the live stream. You know, we're the media. They won't let us in. They won't let us in. We're the media. They won't let us in. I was like, man, I need to get down there. So I got myself dressed again, and I ran down there as fast as I could. And then I brought my camera, you know, because I didn't know what the situation was. Mm-hmm. And I proceeded to take pictures of the police and, you know, tell them how I felt about what they were doing. You know, they were there in their full riot gear, you know, with their masks. And
was this a new thing? Had they been surrounding with that outfit before?
Well, it was a different kind of police officer before. It was like the guys who wear, you know, the blue uniforms, you know, and they didn't have like giant sticks or shotguns with rubber bullets or anything like that. Yeah. You know?
But they
had this.
These guys
this
did
time,
though.
They did. Right. So anyway, you know, I was expressing my disgust for what they were doing. Coming to an unarmed crowd of peaceful protesters with, you know, what amounts to war machines. It's kind of funny, but I went and I bummed a cigarette from someone because I had left so quickly that I had forgotten to bring my cigarettes with me. And then I went to light it. I lit it. I wasn't paying attention, and then they grabbed me, and they... proceeded to arrest me.
And did they say anything to you when they did that?
No, they didn't. I wasn't read my rights, and I wasn't told what I was being arrested for, or even that I was being arrested. So.
Wow.
But it was pretty obvious. You know, strapped my hands with the zip ties and whatnot, and there were lots of other people that were getting the same treatment, and some people were being treated rather heavy-handedly, like, you know, getting their piercings ripped out of their face.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
I guess you're not supposed to have them when you're going there.
You're not supposed to have piercings when you get arrested?
I guess not.
All right. I've noted that. What else?
And would you like to hear my experience after being arrested?
Well, yeah, sure, but let's get up to the stage where where'd they take you after they put the plastic cuffs on you?
Into a paddy wagon, and in the paddy wagon, you know, it's separated by males and females, but that didn't stop us from all singing a chorus of solidarity forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, more than one chorus of it. Anyway, I guess one of the guys in there had the zip ties on too tight, and his hands were turning purple. So, like, everybody was trying to get the attention of the cops to, like, have them do something about it. And the way the cops responded was to eventually take one of the females and give her two sets of zip ties.
Yeah, wish I could say I was surprised by that.
Right. So anyway, after sitting in the paddy wagon for, I would say, probably an hour and a half or so, they moved us to some parking lot somewhere where they, you know, just did a pat down of us and figured out who we were and whatnot. And they put us on a bus. They put the males on a bus, and they put the females on a, I guess it was some, like, unmarked white van. And I guess they ended up going to a different place than we went.
Hey Auto Jack, was this a police bus or a some other kind of bus?
It was a police bus, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, we ended up sitting on that bus for 7 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And where that bus eventually took us was 50 miles north of here in Vista, California.
Why did they take you 50 miles away? What was the point in that?
That's a very good question, because there is a county jail 2 blocks from where we were arrested.
Wow. Okay, so they take you 50 miles away. I think I know where this is going.
Right.
But obviously, when you got there, something else must have happened.
You know, I mean, obviously, they had to take us out of the bus, like, four at a time. And then people were booked, and they had their pictures taken and whatnot. And then everybody was moved into, like, one giant cell for a little while. Yeah, I've never been arrested for anything, so I don't really know, like, what the terminology is for all these cells or whatever. But, and then we were fed, and then eventually we were brought into a cell that had a telephone in it, and we were each allowed to call and, you know, figure out our bail situation. And while we were in there, we were told that we were going to have to be subjected to chest x-rays. And
chest
x-rays.
They said you had to be subjected to chest x-rays.
Well, let me explain this a little further. They said the chest x-ray was for tuberculosis screening, and that it was optional, but if we did opt out of it, then we would be put into solitary confinement, and we wouldn't be able to post bail.
Bernie, you've gone on a tour of a lot of prisons and jails. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
I was subjected to five different prisons during my Secret Service tour. And I was tested for tuberculosis in every one of them, but it was a skin-based test, where they, you know, they scratch your skin and put something on it, and they look for a reaction a few hours later. I've never heard of any prison subjecting prisoners to chest X-rays for a tuberculosis test, unless there were already symptoms that somebody had, you know, tested positive for the early test. So this is very bizarre.
All right, Artojack, please continue. You have us on the edge of our seats here.
Okay, well, as far as I know, all 37 of us males did have ourselves subjected to the radiation. And, well, I'm sick now. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
No, it takes a long time, and then about 20 years. No, I'm not, just kidding. Hopefully.
Yeah, and I'm about to light a cigarette. So, but anyway, as far as the way we were treated, you know, it was pretty much like what people say about being in jail. You know, I mean, the food was terrible. Everything took forever. Even after we were able to post bail, some of us, we had to wait 6 hours for them to do background checks and for them to make sure that they had fingerprinted us before we could, like, go to yet another cell and then wait for the slowest woman on the planet to figure out again who we are, even though we had wristbands that said who we were, and then release us.
So now, how long were you held altogether?
I think about 21 hours.
Amazing. Now, they brought you 50 miles away. Did you get a ride back, or were you just left there 50 miles away from home?
Actually, that was probably the best part. When we got out, each of us were greeted by occupiers up there in Vista. And, you know, they waited for us to go talk to the bondsmen, and, you know, they gave us all rides back down to downtown San Diego.
That's great. But the police would not lift a finger to help you after driving you all the way out there.
Yeah, I know. In fact, they tried to arrest me again.
What do you mean they tried to arrest you again?
Well, I was standing outside of the bondsman's office, and I put out a cigarette. It's always a bane of my existence. Maybe I'll quit. But anyway, this cop comes out of nowhere, and he's like, "Get that up. I'm going to arrest you." And
all that
stuff.
My God.
I'm like, oh, man. It's the Paul Buzzo Act of 1962 or whatever it is. Coming back to haunt me.
Well, wow. Now, did you see anything happening while you were confined? Any particular stories of injustice that you might want to share?
Injustice. Well, not really. I mean. Cops are cops, and they're going to do what cops do, and they're going to make it very difficult for you. But, I mean, as far as it being only for us occupiers, I don't know. I think I've pretty much already explained everything.
Can you tell us something about the Occupy San Diego camp before this happened? What the mood was like, what the setting was like?
Well, I know that one of the things was that we had just gotten a new medical tent, and they were getting that set up, and then some maybe not so bright occupiers decided that it might be a good idea to start bringing tents back into our camp. So there were more tents, and I think that might have, you know, sparked some interest with the cops.
Well, what, the tents were completely forbidden?
They had been... We had another raid like a couple of weeks before that where they had been removed, and the reason they were removed is because they wanted to clean the Civic Center Plaza because there was a dance, some kind of dance competition or something going on in one of the buildings in the Civic Center. I think they arrested two people that time. That was like 3 weeks ago. Nobody had tents until that night. So that's what leads me to believe that maybe that was one of the things that made them want to move in.
Now, where was Occupy San Diego set up?
Say what?
Where was it set up exactly?
Where is the Civic Center? The Civic Center is it's pretty much like smack dab in the middle of downtown San Diego. Third Avenue and B Street.
And there's a space there that you guys were camped out in?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's especially interesting because you heard what was happening on live stream or saw what was happening and chose to head right down there. You could have very easily just stayed at home and watched or heard about it later on.
Right.
What is it that compelled you?
Well, one of the things was, you know, they weren't letting the media in, you know? I mean, if they're going to, you know, be doing that, somebody needs to be watching what they're doing. And that was one thing that was concerned me greatly. Another thing was I just wanted to be there to stand with, you know, the people that I had been standing with, you know, whether they were going to get arrested or not. So I ran down there. It was about 8 blocks away.
And 51 people in total were arrested in San Diego, and that happened on Friday night?
Yeah, it was around 1:30 in the morning.
What's the situation now? Have they regrouped?
Well, I went down there the night before last, and people are no longer allowed to sleep in the Civic Center Plaza. They're allowed to stand there, and they're allowed to hold signs, but nobody's allowed to fall asleep or look like they're falling asleep.
Look like they're falling asleep. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the police are just looking for anybody to do any, like, minor infraction in there. When I went there, the police had barricaded the entrance to the Civic Center Plaza so that only one person could enter or leave it at a time, which I thought was kind of interesting. And, you know, of course, they were standing there like they have been the whole time. Out in front of the Civic Center buildings, there's a little grassy area, and I know that a lot of people are sleeping there right now, but it's my opinion that it's just a matter of time before the police move in on that, too. So.
Well, if they do, I hope the eyes of the world are fixated on this and all the other places where people are putting themselves on the line. It's a very disturbing story to hear this and to know that it's being repeated in many, many places and that we're in danger of it happening right here as well. Is there any kind of contact information, websites, anything where people can help out in whatever way they can?
For San Diego, it's occupysd.org.
Okay. And
I'm sure all the information is there. So.
And just about every single one of these Occupy locations has a live stream, I believe.
Yeah.
And the address of yours, do you know?
Actually, I think we have like three of them because there were some politics at the beginning.
You have three different ones. That's awesome.
Yeah, but at least one of them is on the OccupyStream.org site that has most of the live streams, like all in one place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I assume you can also find the links on OccupySD.org.
Well, actually, I think politics have caused that to get removed within the last few days, and I'm not 100% sure about that, but I know that I had gone there within the last few days, and the link to the live stream wasn't there. So.
Well, essentially, I've been hearing similar things in different places, and as organizations grow and evolve, there are going to be conflicts. There are going to be all kinds of issues. I heard the same thing in New York City, but I really think that it's how those conflicts are dealt with that will determine the future of this movement and whether it turns into a real movement, because these are growing pains. This is going to happen. You're going to always have people who disagree, but will they stand together? So far, I think overwhelmingly they have. But as the winter continues or starts and then continues, will this be something that that survives? I'm optimistic. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this. And Autojack, I think I speak for everybody in applauding your courage just for heading down there and putting yourself on the line like that and just for standing up for your convictions, whatever they may be. I think that's something everybody should be thankful that there are people willing to do that. That's what this country's all about.
Well, I'm proud of what I did. I don't really want to have to go through it ever again, but like you said, it's what this country is about. It's what, you know, it's what being human is about.
Mm-hmm.
What we've gone through during like this last industrial revolution as a people is, you know, a lot of it's not right. So, you know, and some of us have to stand up to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if more people did that, I think a lot less people would be victimized and being arrested and things like that. People would realize this is a force to be reckoned with. So now, where do you stand? You're out on bail, I believe. You're going to go back to be charged or something? What happens now?
We were all charged. Some people got more than one charge, but most people were charged with the same thing I was, which was delaying a peace officer.
And, delaying a peace officer?
Yeah.
Okay, I never heard that one before.
They're in a big hurry.
Anyway.
They're in a big hurry. But not when they're processing people, apparently. They take their time then.
Yeah, they were on their way to dinner or something. Anyway, so our court date is on, well, those of us who got bailed out, and I think there was only one person who didn't get bailed out.
And why was that?
I think there was some issue with his name or something like that. Like, he wouldn't give up his name or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know all the details.
But is everyone out now?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. So now what's next as far as your case?
Well, I know that the National Lawyers Guild is behind us.
Those are the best people in the world, by the way. I just want to say that, National Lawyers Guild.
I know, you told me that the other day.
Yeah.
Some other people told me, you know, also get a second opinion. I may do that, but being that I just became unemployed on Monday, I don't know how realistic that is.
You lost your job on Monday?
Yeah.
That's incredible. So after this nightmare of a weekend, you find out that you've lost your job a couple of days later.
It was related, but I don't really think that it was. I wasn't the only one who got laid off.
Okay, but it's related to this whole thing, one way or another. It's
well, yeah.
So many people are going through. Wow, that's... Talk about adding insult to injury. So, all right. And then in the future, what do you have to look forward to now?
What do I have to look forward to? Going back to sleep?
No. I mean, with regards to this case, what's going to happen next?
Oh, we're going to go to court on December 9th. I have a feeling most of us, I haven't talked to the lawyer yet, so I don't know what they're going to say, but they're probably going to say that we should plead not guilty and ask for a trial by jury, because we're all it's our right as citizens to have a trial by jury. So,
absolutely, and I think you'd be amazed by public support in the oddest places. People really get it sometimes. We believe they don't based on the mass media, but when you actually talk two people in the street, a lot of them really get it.
Uh-huh. I watched this really bizarre piece that someone linked me. It was produced by Fox News. It was about the program Democracy Now!, which is on this station. And the woman from Fox News said on Fox News that polls show that a majority of Americans support the Occupy movement. And she managed to say it in such a dismissive tone of voice that it sounded like she wasn't saying it. But if you listen to the words, people support this movement.
See, they're good. They know how to twist it around and make it sound bad when it's good. But absolutely, that's Fox News for you. Arthur Jack, any last words, requests, things that we can do to help?
Well, I guess if anybody's looking for a programmer or system administrator, I'm available.
Okay, well, there's that. You can write to oth@2600.com, and we'll certainly forward that along. But I mean, as far as Occupy San Diego, anything that people can do to help that organization?
Try to educate yourself and try to educate the populace about what we're about and what we're doing and why we occupy, and just build the numbers, and we should get through it all. We're the people. We're going to win.
All right, let's hope so. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, and stay strong, and know that you're doing the right thing and that you're an honorable person.
Well, thank you.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Arthur Jack joining us from San Diego, where he was one of 51 people arrested last Friday at the Occupy San Diego crackdown and raid. That's pretty incredible, and I fear that we're going to be seeing more of that. Now, something I'd like to address, because I imagine there are listeners out there sort of banging their hand into their head or something, saying, how is this relevant to the computer underground? How is this relevant to the hacker world? Why are we talking about this? And there are just so many tie-ins to the things that we've been talking about over the years, whether it be people arrested for very little reason and held under barbaric conditions, the misunderstanding of the mass media, how they insist on getting the story wrong, demonizing the wrong people, how technology is being used against us, and how the individuals are always seen as evil and the people that are the real threat. And there are all kinds of tie-ins to this particular movement with Anonymous and facts and figures about Wall Street and inequities and things like that. It's history. It's happening around us. It's happening everywhere. We need to take an interest in this. We need to be involved in this. Hackers, the computer world, technological experts, we can all help this become so much better, so much more together, strengthened if our communities work as one. I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen in a lot of places so far. I've seen people really getting involved, and it's an amazing thing to see young people especially realizing they can make a difference and lending their expertise and sharing their knowledge and their skills. And once you do that, you learn something that you're not supposed to learn. You learn how much power you actually have in your hands if you simply believe in yourself and join up with other people and work together. So that's the relevance. And like it or hate it, that's what we're talking about. And by all means, give us a call, 212-209-2900, as we're not asking for money anymore. Now we're asking for your feedback and your information and your ideas of ways the hacker world can help and strengthen all this. Bernie?
I'm here.
I'm sorry. I thought you had something to say.
Well, you know, it would be good to personally visit the nearest Occupy compound or a scene.
Yeah, I don't think compound is quite the right word.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
the noun form, no. Bernie, of Occupy is occupation.
Okay. It would be worthwhile for our listeners to, if they haven't already, to visit the nearest occupation and speak with the people there. And, you know, form your own opinions based on what those people have to say. You may find you have more in common with them than you think if you actually talk face-to-face with some of these people. So
there's a real diversity of opinion down there in every place you go to. So you will find somebody you agree with, and you'll find people you disagree with. But it's how these people work together towards a common goal that will determine if this is successful or not. And I got to say, it really is nice to hear the word occupation used in a positive context, not what the United States is doing to another country, perhaps, as we've heard for the last decade or so, every time that word is spoken. All right, we have some calls. Mike, since the phone is close to you, I'm going to leave you with the job of pressing the buttons. And I also don't want to disconnect Bernie, yes, because he's on a different line today.
All right, we'll try this one.
Okay. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yes, let me turn off my radio.
Yes, please turn down your radio. And that's a warning to everybody calling in. Please turn down your radio because you'll get feedback.
It's off now, but thank you for taking my call. And, you know, as I was listening to you guys speak, it just resonates with me, and I'm just wondering how late in the game people actually think it is. And I think that determines exactly their level of participation. You know, there are so many vibrant ideas that are out there. And you ask the question of how the hacker world can help. And I think that they can help as far as technology is concerned by deconstructing the myth that all we have to do is vote and everything will be okay. And I'm not talking about the type of vote that the General Assembly are constructing, but the old way of voting by exposing the new technology in the voting machines for the fraud that it actually is. Because they will say, well, okay, we have candidates in place. We have a system of voting that has been working for the last 200 years in America. And now all we need for you guys to do is vote for the candidates that we put out there for you, and we will do the rest. And we know that those Diebold machines have been exposed for what they are. And I think those people in the hacker world that know exactly what they're doing before the elections, they expose them to the rest of the world for the fraud that they are. So we don't get confused in thinking that all we have to do is vote in 2012 and things are going to be okay. I don't care who you vote for, mm-hmm. but just the idea that voting will make everything better. When, if you really think about it, the game is so late. It's in the ninth inning and there are two outs. And that's why I participate.
Right. Well, I mean, voting is only deciding on something the lesser of two evils or the better of two good things, but someone has already decided who those participants will be. It's a whole process leading up to Election Day, and yes, we have to get involved in that. Thanks so much for that call. Very, very good points brought up. Dotred.
Yeah, he makes a very good point. You know, just voting for candidates basically is outsourcing your power to other people who may or may not be good, as opposed to actually participating and actually having a real democracy.
All right, let's take another phone call. 212-209-2900. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I'm turning my radio down.
Okay.
Okay, a couple of things. I've been asking around. I live uptown. I guess you call it on the east side. And what I've been hearing is when I talk about it, going down there, when I talk about it to anybody, they'll all say, oh, no, you can't get there because there's all barricades. You can't get near the place.
Not at all true. You can walk right in.
So that's important to know. And can you tell me how you get there?
Are you coming by mass transit or?
I guess subway would be the best thing.
I would take the R train to Cortlandt Street. Is that the best? Is that what you?
I mean, it depends where you're coming from.
Well, she's coming from the Upper East Side, she said.
Yeah. So take
is there
the
a one or a, I know the one.
What would you do? Is you could take the 4, 5, or 6 and transfer at Union Square to the NR line?
No, just take the 4 to Brooklyn Bridge or something.
What if the 4 isn't there? You hop on
I
the local
first. I don't know my way around down there.
And anyway, you could look at a map, but the point is, it's just a couple blocks north of Wall Street itself, near the western end of Wall Street.
Yeah, get off at Cortlandt Street or any of the stops down there. Just walk into it's right off Broadway. You can't miss it. Walk down Broadway, you'll see Zuccotti Park, and it's really we were just there before the show. It's a very positive vibe. Filled with people. I was amazed. I was afraid maybe I hadn't been here in a week or so. Maybe it had started to shrink. Maybe the excitement is going down. Not at all. It's just as vibrant as ever. It's almost like something unbelievable is happening because I've been to so many things like this and I've always seen it kind of peter out at a certain point. And this is not petering out. This is growing every single time I go there. It's evolved a little bit more, and you're getting a real community. With the real community, you get problems with the real community, and that's something that, again, how you deal with that is going to determine the future of that community. But by all means, anyone within the sound of our listening signal, please come down to Zuccotti Park, check it out, see for yourself what it's all about. It's an amazing experience.
Anybody could take a subway, and you're mentioning which one?
I'd take the 4 to Wall Street from the Upper East Side.
4 to Wall Street.
Yeah. The 4 stops on Wall. I'm sorry. Yeah, it does stop right on Wall Street, and then you just walk up a few blocks. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, that sounds good. And now one other thing, and that is, there was someone. It was a priest or whatever from the Riverside Church.
Mm-hmm.
This was a couple of weeks ago, I think, and he mentioned on WBAI that they desperately needed tents, clothing. Anything warm to keep warm. And so I had called and left a message saying, I have brand new boots and things, coats and things, but I wouldn't be able to carry that stuff all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the local church here and explained it, and he said that we could use the vestibule of his church, which is quite enormous, if anybody wanted to bring things there, but he wouldn't be able to provide services to sort and deliver and everything. Do you know of anybody, any group or anything where, because I've spoken to other people who are up here in the higher six, like 70th Street, and they're older like I am, beyond senior citizen. And it would be difficult to try to be carrying stuff down to
right.
there. Is there anyone? There are people up here. I haven't met anyone who is not 100% in favor of the whole occupation.
Well, I'll tell you what. We have a van, the 2600 van. We've already offered to shuttle things into the city, bring equipment, whatever is needed. We can check with some of the people there, see if anything that you have is needed, and if so, be happy to simply drive down from the east side or the west side or whatever and bring these things to the people that need them.
Okay.
All right. And if we don't do it, I'm sure somebody will. And we'll keep checking on the Occupy New York City websites and ask around and things like that. Thanks so much for your support and just for thinking about this. It really matters, makes a huge difference. And it's just great to see so many people pitching in. Dotret.
That's a really great question. Also, if you have, since we're short on time, if you have any more questions about that or would like to take Manuel up on that offer, you could just email us at oth@2600.com.
Okay.
And we can answer and contact anyone that might need to be.
All right.
OTH?
At 2600.com, yes. Let's try to take one more phone call really quickly. We only have about a minute, so let's...
The lines are all full.
They are full. They really are. Not awful. They're all full of people.
That's what I said, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, Tom from the Bronx here.
Hey, what's up?
I want to say the city and the authorities were very disingenuous when they wouldn't let the porta-potties into Zuccotti Park.
That's a very good question. I was just asking that today. Porta potties are not allowed. The other spaces I've seen have them. Why? Why make people miserable? Why make businesses miserable by forcing everybody to trudge over and use their facilities?
Yeah, but wait a minute now. That's a death knell because in the papers, if you notice, they're jumping on the story. The media was jumping on the story where a restaurant had a layoff of their workers. Make 50
we only have 30 seconds, so please wrap it up.
What I'm getting at is let them put the porta-potties in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because not to let them put the porta-potties in there, it's telling them get lost.
Yeah.
And in other words, and then they have a backup system. They say, well, the place smells from the urine and the poop.
It doesn't, actually.
But they're saying that.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that there's illustrations in the Daily News and all, political cartoon.
Okay, I'm sorry, we're going to have to stop there, but people do say that, but people who haven't been there say that. And I can tell you, as somebody who has been inside police precincts, they smell more. They really do. Sorry, but I had to say it. All right, here's something else that I want to do to kind of help out the cause. Music is very important. Every week I want to play something related to this that we find out about, that somebody puts out. There's all kinds of songs coming out about Occupy Wall Street and Occupy other places as well. So we're going to start this week with a band called Eyes of the Elders. And this is a song that has just obviously recently come out. If you know something good that you'd like us to feature, if you're a musician and you want to be featured, every week at this time for the indefinite future, we'll feature a song having to do with this, having to do with this new movement. And we're going to go out with Occupy by Eyes of the Elders. Thanks for listening to Off the Hook. OTH at 2600.com is our address. 2600 meetings this Friday, various parts of the world. Check www.2600.com/meetings. Good night.
Got home, I found a notice in the mail. They're gonna raise a power bill. Duke Energy fell. Food climbs every year with medication and gas. Mass inflation, costs rise with the math. You're telling me I'm human, that I'm not indestructible. $50 a month with a $5,000 deductible. Healthcare scam, preventive medicine works. But that's not lining the pockets of these lobbyist jerks. Pharmaceuticals, corn, babies, bacon, and beer. It's a corporate world, homie, you didn't hear? Educate, innovate, spread the word. It's autonomous. B is for vendetta mask.
B is for vendetta.
Suck my hippopotamus, remove hypocrites. I wipe the corporate bonus with my butt as I spit. Singing USA, USA. Watch people roll slowly like hot dogs.
If you don't love this country, maybe you should just leave.
Shut the fuck up and wake up, you teabagging beef.
Gee, Wally, I don't know if all the patriotic men watching 1% make all the money we spend.
While then American millions got decisions to make. It's either keep the lights on or put food on the plate. I know a lot of people hate a lot of things about others, but that's how they divide us. That's how they're beating our brothers, how they're macing our sisters, then infecting our steeples. That's how they're stealing from us and turning gold into eagles. And I never met Jesus, but I know that it's true. If he were living today, he'd be marching with you. And yes, I never met Abraham, Muhammad, or King. But if they were around, I'm sure they helped me sing. We'd say, USA, USA. Watch people roll slowly like hot dogs. OCCUPY, Wall Street, All Streets, Main Street, My Street, Your Street. Occupy, expose the lies. Need a couple reasons?
Here's 105.
OCCUPY, Wall Street, All Streets, Main Street, My Street, Your Street. Occupy, expose the lies. Need a couple reasons?
Here's 105. Same assholes run the prison, run the schools, and they make more money when we break all their rules. So we'll talk to these fools, and they hand us the tools. Never explain what they do and how they use. Now I walk in my shoes, and I got a short fuse. Occupy Wall Street with nothing left to lose. Radio, newspaper, all propaganda. Television programming, you are the channel. Radiation, serenation, mind full of condensation. Patriotic patriots suspended in the animation. Your Bugs Bunny and Doc has a carrot. Enough here for everyone, why can't we share it? Fake debt ceiling, summer was a drama. All I wanna hear is FOMO Obama. Whole Tea Party, nothing but some racists.
They be anonymous,
we all remain faceless. Hurricane house nigga, out front porch monkey. Trust you about as much as a strung out porch junk. Congress is a brothel, mentalist Gestapo. Another Tyler Durden, call me also Gato.
USA, USA, watch people roll slowly like hot dogs. USA, USA.
USA. Watch people roll slowly like hot dogs. OCCUPY, Wall Street, All Streets, Main Street, My Street, Your Street. Occupy, expose the lies. Need a couple reasons? Here's 105. OCCUPY, Wall Street, All Streets, Main Street, My Street, Your Street. Occupy, expose the lies. Need a couple reasons?